Welcome to Brain Junk. I'm Trace Kerr.
And I'm Amy Barton, and this is a brainstorm. Bodies are weird, everybody.
Amen. Right there. End of episode. Mm-hmm. Done. Thank you. Oh, I got a sweatshirt. Hold on. There we go. My pants. Sensory problems. Okay.
Amen. Oh, my goodness. Things with buttons.
TikTok mm-hmm. is terrible because it has an algorithm. And very quickly, it tells you who you are. And you're like, wow, that's frequently accurate. And I hate all of it. And it's like,
but I also love it.
Maybe you have ADHD. Or are you on the autism spectrum? And I'm like, no. And they're like, do you do these things? And I'm like, oh, my God.
I'm giving you the bird and I'm clicking that link.
I know exactly. It's like, ha, ha, ha. Hey, wait a second.
That's not funny. I do have moments where I'm like, there's a toe in that pond. The sensory things.
Oh, yeah. You know, like there's a tag. I mean, I can't even handle somebody else having a tag. Like if you have one sticking out, I have to fix that.
I have to touch it. Mouth noises.
Oh,
there's an actual thing for that, though. That's another brain junk. Yeah, some of those auditory things are really hard for me.
Yes. And then we're all crazy over here. It's okay.
It's kind of nice, usually.
It is. I do enjoy. I have been enjoying. I mean, like, you know, you're not the only person who does things, but some obscure mm-hmm. things you're like, oh, good.
Yes.
All right, let's hit it off. Okay.
Yep. All right, Trace, you're going to be very proud of me.
I understand.
Oops. Uh-oh.
My watch just said, I'm not sure I understand.
Well, I understood.
Shut up, Siri. Don't be a jerk.
God, don't you know we're trying to do something here?
Right? I already muted you. Okay. So, my research.
Yes.
Let's talk about pupillary dilation because you all know that that's a reflex, or you haven't thought about it, but it just happens for you and we're all glad. Because
right.
if your pupils did not reflexively dilate, you'd walk out in the bright sun and just be blinded. Yes. Or you couldn't adjust for distance. So like when you're reading a book and you've been reading too long, your pupils get a little bit stodgy and you look up and it's blurry.
Yep.
So they adjust for brightness and distance, as well as mental effort and arousal. I didn't quite realize the mental effort, but when you're really concentrating, your pupils also concentrate.
Do they like cinch down when you're
Yeah.
Wow.
Because they're kind of narrowing down your field. And this is going to be my favorite phrase for the episode.
Okay.
The iris sphincter muscle. Also known as this pupillary sphincter or sphincter pupillae. That's a muscle located in the color part of your eye. So please go tell your family, your iris sphincters are looking very beautiful today. Your pupillary sphincters. Because that's something we all need to have as a part of our lives.
Absolutely.
So when you're seeing that your eyes are dilating, it's actually that iris sphincter, those two little muscles kind of pulling in and out to allow a different level of light through. So you don't do that. It just happens to you and we're all glad. Now you can, with the power of your brain, imagine it being very bright and trick your brain. You can imagine it being very dark and trick your eye into. So there's evidence that that can happen.
No.
Yes. So that in and of itself is super amazing. Like if you really thought hard, you might be able to, and I'm not sure how the mechanism of that works. You could probably read about it, but I do not recommend it because that is, do you guys watch Star Trek? Where are my Star Trek brain junkies out there? There's an episode or a movie where things are going down and Riker is in command of the ship and the ship is on autopilot almost all the time because that computer is smarter than him. And he's like, computer, take it off of autopilot. And everybody's like, no, that is a bad idea. And this is like that. Do not take it off of autopilot. It's not good for your eyes.
Oh.
Because, you know, they adjust for a reason. So the bright sunshine, it needs to dilate back down. Anyway, that's my public service announcement. But let's get to a 23-year-old student in Germany. He can shrink and enlarge his pupils on demand, and it is not that tricking your brain. It is actually him moving the muscles.
What? How?
Okay. Let's talk about who. Christoph Strauch was the senior author on the paper about this, and he is an assistant professor in experimental psychology at Utrecht University in Netherlands. But originally, when he was doing his graduate work, he was at Ulm University in Germany, and this student took a class from him, and the subject came up. And so the student got in touch with him with Christoph Strauch and said, you know how you were saying that you can't move your pupils voluntarily? I can, I think. He's like, we must meet. I don't know if that's how he sounds, but I'm sure he was excited about that after doing a little discussion. So
how is this, like flaring your nostrils or wiggling your ears or something? I mean, like there's a muscle there, but how do you even find, is he just poking himself in the eye randomly until he figures it out? I mean, how does this happen?
When he was 15 or 16, and he goes by the initials in these studies of DW, which reminds me of Darkwing Duck. But anyway, he kind of realized he would call it, he could tremble with his eyeballs. And So what he must have been doing was like little dilations, little muscle twitches, and he could make his pupils small. And so he kind of noticed it more when he was playing video games. He could dilate them down tighter. He could constrict the pupils. And he says it feels like gripping or tensing, and making it large feels like it's fully like releasing and relaxing. What? So he really does have this, I don't know what it feels like. Like I'm putting my hands over my eyes so it's darker, and I did not feel anything. I'm sure my pupils dilated, but I didn't feel it, but he can feel it. So as he kind of figured out this is weird and I can actually do a thing, I'm sure he's probably better at video games because he can dilate and focus a little bit more. So he would initially practice by focusing on objects in front or behind things so that he could practice that dilation. I'm not quite sure how that would work. But eventually he didn't need the object to do it anymore. And so he came to, he made this connection with Strauch, and they're like, let's study this. So they got together and they did some studies. And Strauch says it's astonishing because he thought it was impossible.
Well, it doesn't seem like a muscle that you would have access to.
No.
Right?
So something's wired differently for him. And so Strauch wants to know what, and they really don't know what yet, but they do know it's extremely probable that it's not him tricking his brain into doing it for him. It's him moving those muscles, not thinking about something that tricks the pupil.
That's insane.
I know. They found no evidence that he's changing it indirectly, is what they called. One of the tests, the researchers measured the electrical properties of the skin by applying voltage. So that was probably fun.
Oh, jeez.
So that was to test whether he was aroused by increased mental effort, which also would have increased his pupil size indirectly. So that, like, is he tricking his brain? And no, he was not. So this is really an interesting stat. DW improved his focus and could see objects clearly nearly 2 times closer to the face than he could if he wasn't controlling his pupil size. So even at the closest point of an object can be seen by the eye, to still see it in focus, the pupil is maximally constricted when the thing is this closest and you're still seeing it clearly. So like think of holding a pencil in front of your eye and moving it closer and closer, and you stop just before it comes blurry.
I was just doing that actually as you were explaining it.
He can constrict his pupil even tighter and still, so his close range of vision is way better than ours.
He's like a human microscope.
Yeah. It's very weird and awesome. They did a brain scan, the functional magnetic resonance imaging, an fMRI, and they found increased activation of certain parts of the brain involved in volition, or the ability to decide to do something of free will. Did you know that was a part of your brain that they've identified for that?
No.
That's another grant. So they cannot definitively say that he's controlling himself, but everything points away from that involuntary and to that direct voluntary.
Well, I mean, yeah, that feels like he's doing something, yes. Doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
Huh.
Crazy, huh? And what's next would be the question of, are there more people out there and can we learn to do that? And Strauch does not rule it out. He says, maybe, but they need more test subjects. So if you happen to feel like you can actually control your iris sphincters, You should get in touch with Dr. Strauch.
Iris sphincters.
I feel like that's what we should close the episode on. Iris sphincters.
Oh, my inner 12-year-old loves that so much.
Pupillary sphincters.
Wow, that just doesn't, huh?
You know, I had pinned that article a long time ago, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's time to talk about that.
It totally is. I really want to see that kid. Oh, he's probably not a kid anymore. But go to the eye doctor and not tell them, and you sit down for your eye exam, and he's like, zoop, make it small, zoop, make it big. I think that would freak him out, wouldn't it?
Yes. It's like that moment in a movie where somebody realizes they're facing a mortal danger, and they have this,
The optometrist quickly looks over his shoulder. What? Is there an axe murder? No, it's just me flexing my eyes. Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And if you'd like to hear more episodes, ask your smart speaker to play Brain Junk Podcast. If podcast? What is a podcast? It sounds like some sort of weird ghost. Okay, let me try that again.
Your sphincters aren't working well if you have a podcast.
If you'd like to hear more episodes, ask your smart speaker to play Brain Junk Podcast. Check out our Instagram for fun images and pictures. We put stuff up all the time. Our Facebook page is a great place to go if you have comments or questions. Amy and I will catch you next time when we share more of everything you never knew you wanted to know, and I guarantee you will not be bored.